Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're listening to All Paws Pet Talk Radio with your host, Deb Wolf. And today we have a very special guest back because I like her so much, Dr. Kathy. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kathy.
Thank you, Deb. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. We are just starting to get the heat here, just beginning. Our first day of 80 degrees is expected today, but I don't think it's like that for the rest of the country. So maybe you can help people keep their pets cool right now. I think they need some information on that, Dr. Kathy.
Absolutely. We've dealt with heat indexes of 106 degrees here in Indiana for the last week and a half. So we're practiced.
Oh, and it's not just leaving your dog inside a hot car, which is terrible. We have to think about that. If it's 85 degrees outside and you put your dog in the hot car and close the windows, it's going to be over 100 in 10 minutes. It's going to be over 120 in 30 minutes. So Nobody should be taking pets in the car. But it's more than that, isn't it?
It's absolutely more. It's even just letting your dogs outside in the yard to go to the bathroom. If they're out there without any shade for more than 10 minutes, they will be really overheated. And accidents can happen. Just, you know, you get distracted, you forget, you don't open the door back up, and there's no water and no shade. And absolutely, accidents can happen very quickly. People have to pay close attention.
I think sometimes people don't know their animal is overheated. How do they know if their dog or cat has had too much sun or heat?
It's about how fast they cool down. Because, you know, the doggies will always pant when they're hot, and that's a good mechanism for them to cool off. But if their tongue is a really dark red, almost like a purple, that means they've had far too much, and these dogs will be really kind of dazed and unresponsive. And if you ever see your cat panting, cats don't pant. They don't open mouth breathe, and so they're either stressed out or overheated, and that definitely means that there's something to be concerned about. Sometimes
so, so what do you do? Do you get them cool with cool water, or what do you do immediately when your cat is panting or your dog looks dazed and confused and his tongue is all red and engorged? I guess it's engorged with blood. Is that why it's red?
It is because they're trying to cool. And so absolutely, cool them off with water. There's a lot of blood vessels on their belly. And so if you can get their bellies cooled off, be careful with the kitty claws. Not all cats like water. There are, in emergency situations, rubbing alcohol can help cool. And you can put that on feet and stuff, but you want to be careful because you don't want your pet to lick it off. They can become ill. But like in emergency hospitals, they do sometimes use alcohol to cool a patient down, you know, the rubbing alcohol kind, of course. And ice cubes, ice packs that are wrapped in towels on the inside of their thighs can do a lot to get them cooled down. Would be a great idea to take a rectal temperature with a regular old thermometer.
Okay.
Normal temperature for dogs and cats is 101 to 102.5. I have seen cases of hyperthermia where the dog came in with a temperature over 106. It's really bad. And in that last particular case, it was a horrible accident. Nobody meant that to happen to their baby girl. Yeah.
And what happened in the end? Did the animal survive?
No, she died.
She died.
It ends up, it's gross, but they cook from the inside out. It's
oh, awful. That's horrible. That's just
absolutely
horrible. So you really got to be careful. What you said about shade really hit home for me, because I think sometimes people think their dog is comfortable because he's swimming or because he's in an exposed convertible or the back of a truck or something like that, and there's wind on him. There's a breeze. But he's still overheated, isn't he?
He's still overheating. Yeah, so he has evaporative cooling with the wind blowing in his ears and all that. But if it's 120 degrees, it's still 120 degrees through a thick coat.
Yeah, and if he's black, if you have a black pet, is this harder on him, or does it just seem that way to the owners? It just seems like black animals suffer so much in the sun. Is that just an appearance thing, or is that true? Do they have a harder time?
I think the physicists could argue well that the black dogs and cats have a much more difficult time in direct sunlight because it absorbs the energy from the sun, whereas white tends to reflect it back to an extent. So, yes, and even if you have a black kitty next to a white kitty out in the sunlight and you put your hand on them, the black kitty is darn hot.
But you know what's strange about that? I totally agree with that, and I noticed it with my animals, who likes to sunbathe and for how long and that kind of thing. But I also want to caution people, the white animals and the polka dot and freckly, cutesy, spotted animals, they sometimes have skin cancer issues, don't they, Dr. Kathy?
Yes,
like, what do people need to know about that?
The pink skins are definitely at risk. So the white kitties with the pretty little pink nose and the Great Pyrenees, who every year gets like sunburn around the brim of the nose and on the tips of the ears, absolutely, if you start getting any kind of a growth there, absolutely needs to be seen by a vet, because most common in these animals is squamous cell carcinoma and melanoma from the sun, just like us humans.
Well, can we do preventatives? I mean, if I'm babysitting a kid who's really pale skinned, redhead, blonde, I'll put more sunscreen on and heavier dose in the places he's most likely to burn. Would I do that with a dog with a freckly nose? Like, is there something, you know, that I can do?
You can. There are some pet designed sunscreens. Mm-hmm. The difference is that there isn't zinc in them, because you know the jokes about the lifeguards with the white noses.
Right.
The zinc oxide paste in it. Well, zinc is poisonous to dogs and cats, so we don't want them to have that sort of a sunscreen on them for protection. But yes, a regular sunscreen would be great. And just like for humans, the sunscreens that have the parabens can have secondary side effects for all species. Like, you know, be out in the sun and they themselves may be linked to causing cancer. So you want to be sure that you get a very high quality sunscreen for either two-legged or for four-legged family members that don't have the parabens.
You know, I'm thinking shade is best, isn't it? Really, shade is what you need.
Shade is best. It is. When it's that darn hot, how about some shade or a cool garage or just be inside on the tile floor? My cats who like to go do things outside all day in the summer are not outside all day right now. They wait till nighttime.
Well, I often see people at the beach, and I think they don't think to pack shade for their dogs always, or collapsible water, or their own water. You know, your dog drinking the ocean is not a smart idea. And if he's dehydrated, you give him no choice. So I think you got to pack differently when you have a pet with you.
Absolutely. It would be great to bring an umbrella, lots and lots of water. And your point is fabulous. If they're thirsty, they're already dehydrated, and if they go and drink salt water, that makes them more dehydrated because of the salt imbalance, and it can cause salt toxicity, which also can be fatal.
Wow. So that's a lot to think about.
And a great way to pack for going to the beach or the lake, how about start with ice, and as it melts, it becomes a nice temperature for your pet to drink.
Oh, perfect.
And
yeah.
Then it doesn't slosh all around the back of the car and all that on your way driving there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've given us lots of great tips to keep our pets cool in the hot weather. And I think we're going to be back in a minute. We're going to go to commercials, and we'll be back to talk more with you about some holistic options for your pets and maybe some alternative pet care that you might not even know about. Great things happening for pets nowadays. So we'll be back with Dr. Kathy in a moment. Stay tuned to All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be right back. listening to All Paws Pet Talk Radio with your host, Deb Wolf, and I'm here with Dr. Kathy. And, well, Dr. Kathy isn't just a traditional doctor. She knows all about some alternative medicines. So while she's with us today, I just wanted to let you know about some of these things because it's pretty amazing. It's mind-blowing what they're doing for animals nowadays. So, Dr. Kathy, what do you think would surprise us?
Ah, boy, there are all kinds of surprises. My favorite thing is always surprising people with what's in their food. But we could talk about, you know, that we can do acupuncture on all sorts of animals.
Acupuncture,
in fact,
okay.
When I was learning acupuncture training, we did it on a chicken.
A chicken? Did the chicken need to quit smoking? I mean, what was the chicken's problem?
You can actually do it for... when they pick their feathers and pluck their feathers out, so behavioral disorders, and when they pick at each other so that they don't disfigure everybody. So,
but the chicken is worth like $6, and I bet you each treatment was about $50. Like, does this make sense economically? I don't know.
Well, yeah, okay. So now make it a pretty blue Amazonian macaw or something like that.
Okay, yes, right. I see.
I think chickens were easy to acquire at my class, but absolutely. But, you know, you bring up economics, and when people love their pets, it doesn't matter that you can go get a new $2 rat. If your rat has a tumor, they want to take it off.
Oh, that's true. And remember the guy who had his dog cloned? For an obscene amount of money. I mean, you could feed a village. You could buy several homes. You could, and he had his own
Absolutely.
Dog cloned. And really, there's a lot of dogs just like yours. So it didn't make much sense to me. But I understand the personal attachment that I get. So you see people, I guess, who've tried traditional medicine and it's failed them. What kind of itchy, scratchy problems are you seeing?
Well, itchy scratchy is probably the biggest one. That's frustrating no matter what kind of veterinary medicine you do, whether it's regular integrative like I do or strictly alternative. The itchies are it's one of the hardest things we battle. I do see cancer cases, and if it's not at the very end, I have good luck. But when people are coming as the absolute last ditch or tomorrow is the day, then tomorrow probably is the day no matter what method we use.
So you've had good luck with dogs and cats who've just been diagnosed with cancer. What did you do for them that gave them wellness?
I took out all inflammation. I had one doggy came to me for a second opinion about 2 years ago. She had a tumor in her mouth. It was confirmed. A piece of it was removed and taken to the lab, and they said, yes, indeed, it was a tumor. What could I do alternatively? The owner didn't want to do chemo and radiation, so we took away all inflammation. We put the doggy on a raw diet. She got nothing with grain, no inflammatory foods. I put her on an herbal supplement that was actually antiviral, anti-inflammatory. And we adjusted her monthly, and instead of the 6 months that she'd been given to live, she died of natural causes about 20 months later.
Oh, nice. Okay, now you said grains in there, and I remember years ago, I had a Rottweiler with cancer, and the first thing they did was they said, no more grains. Feed him meat and veg only. Now, he had some immune problems, so I had to cook it. But it sounds like you're letting people know that cooking for your animals or making raw food is the way to go. Is that what you're telling us?
It's the highest quality ingredients.
And it's not more expensive, is it? Like, that's what surprised me.
Yeah, it's the same or less, depending on what you make. So one of the things I did recently was made my own jerky treats, and I did the cost comparison with going to the store. That's about the same to make your own. But if you make regular dinner for your dog or your cat, it's half the cost of regular grocery store food, but if you're used to buying the premium food, it's a fifth to a tenth the cost, like 20, like 80% cost savings. It's crazy.
And it's not that hard to do, and I'm sure you'll tell them. How do they find out more? Have you got a website where they can go to find out more about how to do this for their pets?
Absolutely. Yep, dinnerpossible.com, and it's spelled P-A-W-S-I-B-L-E.
We have some free recipes on there to get people started, and then links to buy the cookbook, and there are electronic versions of the cookbook available also. The whole point is just to make our pets have a better quality of life for as long as possible, which is the whole reason we have them.
Well, and I know people often think it'll be so much extra work to cook for pets. Pets aren't that picky. It's actually pretty easy if you've got a big crock pot kind of a thing and you can, and a freezer. I mean, it's really easy. So I think it's easier than people think, and you'll be surprised at how healthy your pets will look and how eager they'll be to eat. Your finicky cat will not be finicky anymore. So, okay.
Your dogs will stop shedding. How about that?
Yes. Oh, okay, so it makes the digestive problems better, skin and coat better. What else?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I guess mood and personality, and you get your energy back from your older pets.
When we've seen all of those, I learned on my own animals. And my dog, who'd been itchy and kind of aloof for years, in 3 days stopped shedding, which was just
wow.
Nuts.
Now, you see, I have standard poodles, so shedding isn't my big worry. But I bet when I give them chicken livers a little bit, a couple times a week, I don't have eye stain anymore. So I really see the difference between, you know, thinking about what you feed your animals and being lazy about it. I do see the difference. I see it right on their faces and the stains on their fur. So it's really simple to cook for your pets, and you'll be surprised at how much your pets will appreciate it. Your vet bills will probably go down too, won't they, Dr. Kathy?
They will, and that's part of my argument to people, and they tell me, it's so expensive. I tell them, wouldn't you rather spend the money on the food than coming to see me all the time? And it's an easy sell from there.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you're not melting in the heat. And everybody, take care of your animals. Dr. Kathy's told us just how to keep them cool in this hot weather. And I hope you'll come back and join me again on All Paws Pet Talk Radio in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks, Deb.
Okay, thank you. Next, we're going to be talking to Allie Phillips. So we've been talking to a doctor. Now we're going to be talking to a lawyer. Put on your thinking cap. We're going to be thinking for the next segment on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
When my dog Buddy was sprayed by a skunk, I didn't like the available options. Harsh peroxide mixes or tomato juice both damage the coat for months, dry out the skin, and can harm their eyes. And most skunk shampoos are just perfumes, also not safe for their eyes. So I invented Deskunkin' Jubilee with safflower oil, all-natural baking soda, mango butter, and other natural ingredients. Safe for your dog's eyes, coat, and skin, and okay if ingested. Works in one shot, money-back guarantee. Go to BuddyR.com, BUDDY, the letter R.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Hello, we're back with All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're talking to Allie Phillips. She's an award-winning author, nationally recognized attorney, and advocate for animals. But today she's going to be talking to us not necessarily about lobbying Congress or criminal justice professionals or the usual topics I've had her on. Today, there's been a lot of disasters in the news, a lot of trouble, fires and all kinds of just horrible situations for people and pets. And so today she's going to come to us and tell us what you can do to keep your pets safe if you're in Colorado or there's a big power outage or a fire or a hurricane. And I know we're heading into hurricane season. So welcome to the show, Allie, and thanks for helping us keep safe.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's great to be talking with you on this topic, which is so critically timed right now.
You know,
it's,
I wrote a piece.
So tragic.
I wrote a piece about a year ago for AOL Paw Nation on Noah's Wish, which is an organization where if you're into animals and you've got some skills and you're mobile and you're fit and you want to do this, you get trained by them with animal first aid. And then anytime there's a disaster, they get their volunteers to the disaster, and those people help save the pets. So Noah's Wish, if you're looking for something to do, if you want to make a difference, check that out, Noah's Wish. But what have you got to share with us today? What can people do so when the wildfire actually, they're reading, you know, they're watching the news and they're seeing it's coming to their town, what can they do to prepare?
Well, there's a lot of different things that people who have pets need to do well before they see that wildfire screaming down the mountain at them, or before they see the notifications on TV that there's, you know, a severe weather warning in the area. If you have a companion animal, it is so incredibly critical that you have a plan, and not only an evacuation plan that includes your pets, because please, please, please do not ever leave your pet behind. Take your pet with you, but also to have the supplies ready so that you can literally grab and go. And that's where most people get caught in trouble, because they haven't prepared. They're trying to grab essential and critical things, and then they realize, okay, I'm not getting out of here, so I either have to save my life or I stay behind to protect my pet. So there's just a couple of things that you can do, and keep them in a backpack, like at the, you know, a closet at the front door, a place that's really handy where you can literally grab and go. And things to think about putting in the grab and go bag are leashes, tags, vaccination records, microchip records, a little bit of food, a bottle of water, a favorite blanket, already have it in there, have some toys in there. You know, if there's any medication, make a photocopy of it, because if it needs to be refrigerated, you certainly can't keep it in the grab-and-go bag. But if you photocopy it and have it in there, then if you get to safety, you can refill it. Or if it's something that isn't refrigerated, just take a little bit of it and put it in the bag, because when things happen, you're so panicked, you don't have time to think. And we've heard that from so many people in the Waldo Canyon fires out in Colorado, where they said everything was fine 1 minute, and the next minute the fire was rolling down the hill and they ran for their lives. So grab and go bags, please do it. And even put the backpack inside a carrier or a small crate, have that ready, because we're finding a lot of people are getting themselves to safety and they're going to a shelter, and the shelter says, well, your pet has to be in a carrier or in a crate. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you know what else? Yes, and not only that, I mean, a lot of people think, but my cat's so sweet, my dog's so compliant, my dog's so well-trained. Your cat is not going to be sweet when it's panicked, when there's smoke everywhere, when there's sirens, when there's people and cars and traffic. And no, your cat needs a carrier for its own peace of mind. Same for your dog. As lovely as your dog is, your dog needs that carrier more than ever. And so I think sometimes when people buy a puppy, they're really quick, once the dog's house trained, to go sell the carrier or give it away. And really, they should just collapse it. It stores easy. You know, you can put stuff in it. There's no reason. You put the little screws that come with it in a Ziploc bag, and you tape it to the inside of the carrier, and then you put the other half on top so it's sealed in there so you can't lose it. It really doesn't take up any room, even in a small apartment. It's just a big box, a half box, you know, put stuff in it. But you don't want to get rid of those. You're going to need them if you have to run, and that's so important.
Right. Yeah, because even if you can end up at an animal shelter who can care for your pet, the animal shelter is going to run out of cages, run out of crates, run out of carriers, and so if you show up already self-sufficient, they're going to welcome you with open arms because they're going to be able to handle your companion animal so much better. And that's really what has been happening. The Pikes Peak Humane Society has been at ground zero in the Waldo Canyon efforts in Colorado, and their latest numbers are that they have taken in and cared for 439 family pets, and 108 of those had to be rescued from homes because the people literally had to run for their life, and so their pets were left behind, and luckily those animals were okay. But please take your pet with you. If you can do so safely, take your pet with you, because then it prevents a rescuer, a search and rescue professional, from having to go into the damaged areas to have to search for your pet.
Well, and something further to that, your pets should be social. They don't have to love everybody, but they should be able to come when they're called, sit nicely, have a leash put on them. You know, you need to train your pets to the point where if you did have your next-door neighbor come grab your pet because you're at work and you've just been told you can't get home anymore and your neighbor's taking all their pets and all their things and making a run for it, she says, can I grab your cat? You want to be able to say yes and have the cat go with her, not be hiding under the bed somewhere because it only knows you. So really mm-hmm. think about that in advance. Your dog, too. Your dog should know your neighbors, because you may be needing to count on them.
And that's such a really good point, because I have a cat. Her name is Lucy. She's almost a 14-year-old Bombay. And for years, she was just my cat. And if anybody came over, she was going to just go upstairs and hide under the bed. But then over the last year, I've been introducing her to friends and other people, and now she comes to the front door to greet people. And so that's a really good point that you make, that if there's an emergency, even if it's firefighters going into your home or search and rescue, they need to get in and get out. And having your pets, while they still may be scared, having them be able to go to a stranger is really critical.
Yeah, and so you might even teach, I mean, if you've got a guard dog or a protective dog, you might even teach them a release word that you could pass on to your neighbor and use it, practice it, so that when someone comes to the door that he already knows and recognizes and says his name and says that word, he knows to go with them. You know, you got to make it simple. The same for feeding. A lot of people train their dogs to only eat with a command word. Well, if your dog gets separated from you, he may starve himself because of this command. So you got to think that through. Make sure that the people who save your dog get that word somehow. Mm-hmm. It might even have to be on his tag. I mean, it can get really hectic in these situations. And I think about the animals. ID is key. You've got to have ID on your dogs. Tattoo isn't good enough. Microchip isn't good enough. Have it all on there, because there's going to be masses of pets and people trying to find each other at the end of this. And if you need a specific kind of scanner, or you need to have great vision and glasses and be able to hold a pet down to look at its ear, which is all grown over in hair, that may not happen. So get a tag on your dog for sure. Oh, we're going to have to go really soon. You know what, Allie? I just want to let people know where to find you. Where can they find you online so they can find out more information from Allie Phillips and all the legal work you're doing and the lobbying you're doing to make sure that pets don't end up in experiments? How can they get a hold of you, Allie? How can they find out?
Well, they can just go to my website, AllyPhillips.com, and check out my books and join the blog and Facebook page and Twitter page and join in on the conversation.
Oh, great, Allie. Okay, well, I sure hope you'll come back and talk with me again. Maybe next time we'll go more on the legal side of things and attack some wrong that we need to right. So it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much, Allie.
Thank you.
I want to make a difference. And some of you probably do, too. You know there's injustice in the world. You know there's animals struggling. And sometimes it's just a click of the keyboard. So we're going to talk to Allie. She's a lawyer who spent her life in law and now lobbies for animals and the people who love them. So we'll be talking to her next on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Listening to All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Sometimes I see something in the news that's just upsetting because it's just stupid. And this is just stupid. Clover, you know, the little grassy thing. It's sort of, you know, like you collect them, you want a four-leaf clover, that. It has purple flowers and it's delicious. And animals love it, especially wildlife. So for some stupid reason, they decided to plant it along this huge stretch of highway between Vancouver and Whistler for the Olympic Games. It's beautiful, it's true, and it's good ground cover. But the bears love it. So now the bears are drawn to the clover, and the bears are hitting the cars, and the people are getting in accidents, and the bears are dying. And there's no reason for this. They were told ahead of time not to plant the clover, that bears love it too much. But they did it anyway. And this is the kind of thing that drives me crazy once it's already happening. But sometimes things are happening right now. Sometimes things are happening that we can prevent, where there's just going to be needless pain or cruelty to animals and a click of the keyboard or a letter in the right place or a signature on the right petition makes a big difference. And that's what Allie Phillips is all about. So today she was telling you about animals in disaster zones. And now we're going to talk about, okay, what about the ones who don't get reclaimed? What about those animals that need your help? Okay, Allie, take it away.
Hi, Deb. Yeah, this is such an important topic right now because we're still struggling with the wildfires in Colorado and in other states. And here on the eastern seaboard, last Friday, we got hit with a terrible storm. And, you know, almost a week later, we still have people without power. So, you know, this is happening all over the country. And if you are in a hurricane zone, it's just a matter of time before a hurricane hits your area. And so what a lot of very compassionate pet people think about is, you know, well, I'm okay right now, but I want to help. And sometimes they don't know what to do to help. And there's a lot of different ways that you can help those that are in the fire-ravaged areas or in the flood zones or, you know, here in D.C. where there's no power. And so people are having to move out with their animals and try to get to safety and get to shelters. There's a lot of different things that you can do. If you have a little bit of money that you can spare, even just $5, check online and donate. For example, in Colorado, the Humane Society in Pikes Peak has been at the core of getting the animals pulled out of the Waldo Canyon, a fire area which has been one of the worst hit. And so they are caring for literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pets. They need every dollar that they can to feed them and provide medical care. But other things that you may not think about are opening your home. You know, for instance, here in the greater D.C. area, there are people that are opening up their homes to friends and family who are still in the dark. And because temperatures have been over 100 degrees here, if you do not have air conditioning, not only can that be very harming for you, but for your pet. So open up your home. It may be temporary. It may just be for a day or two or for a week. You will feel so good in doing that and being able to help someone. Or consider donating supplies, you know, depending on, you know, what the disaster is. You know, if it's a fire, wildfire going on, they may need respirators or, you know, masks, especially little masks for pets. They may need cooling pads, you know, which you can buy at the pet store.
Medical supplies, pet food, pet supplies, those are always going to be needed. And drivers with vehicles are always needed.
Exactly. Drivers, you know, search and rescue equipment, flashlights, batteries, blankets, cages, carriers. Even if you live in a wide open area and if you have space for livestock, oh, please, please, please contact these areas and say, I can take a couple of horses, I can take a cow, a pot-bellied pig, some goats.
Just yeah, you know, Noah's open, Wish, if they come set up at your place, they are like a MASH unit, like that show on TV. They come, they got their tents, they got everything. They'll have an operation, surgery, an ICU. They have the whole thing set up with the recovery pens and everything. All you need is access to power, water, and land, and they'll do the rest. So, and you'll be doing so much good. So much good. And then,
exactly.
You know, a month or two from now, they'll be completely gone with nothing left, no trace. It's amazing what they do. So, yeah, you can help out. You can help out easily. You know, earlier when we were talking about what to do to keep your own pets safe in the heat, there were a couple things I noted down that I thought maybe we missed. So I just want to make sure we go over that. If you do have an outdoor dog and you give it water in a bowl, make sure that bowl or cup or bucket is big and that it's tied, so it doesn't get accidentally knocked over, leaving him with no water for the day. Maybe even set out two. And you could put an anchor in the wall and hook it to that, or you could tie it to something. But just make sure it doesn't get knocked over and it always has water. Same for if the water at some times a day is in direct sunlight. No dog is going to drink boiling hot water. So if it's in a metal bucket in the hot sun, 100-degree weather, it's no good to him. So you got to keep that in mind. And that goes to my second point, is that, you know, you may look out your window at 8 o'clock in the morning and think, okay, he's got shade, he's fine, and then you go to work. But what if at noon the sun shifts? He's not in shade anymore. So make sure you think about this. All hours of the day, does your animal have shade? And then surfaces. When you go for a run or a jog, you're wearing your shoes. Your dog is barefoot on that hot tarmac or pavement. So bend down and touch it. If you can't stand to put your bare hand on it, don't make your dog walk on it. His feet are just going to get beaten up, bloody and blistered and sore. And then when he walks on the grass, it will slice. So you really got to watch the feet when things get hot. The same for little the metal on door edgeways and things like that. That can be a problem too. You may just have to throw a carpet over top of it, a little throw rug. I mean, it doesn't take much, towel. But you don't want your dog having to walk barefoot on hot metal. And for anybody with older dogs or health problems at all, you don't go for a run at noon. You know, don't take that 10-year-old Dalmatian for a run at noon because it seems like he wants to go. That's not smart. That's when dogs get stroke and heart attacks and other problems. And so I want to just caution you, you know, walk them early in the morning, walk them late in the evening, but skip that midday sun for sure, the midday heat. Okay, so what else can people do to make a difference right now, Allie? If they go to your website and they're checking it out, what else are they going to find there that will help make the world a better place for animals and people who love them?
The sort of things that you can find on my website are my two books that I have published, one of which has a chapter on this topic that we've been talking about getting involved in disaster response, even getting yourselves trained in doing disaster response and search and rescue. My second book deals with the topic of pound seizure, which is shelter pets that are being brokered for research. So those are the two main books, but I also have a Facebook page and a Twitter page and a blog where we talk about really critical issues and have some great conversations. And the whole point is to get more people involved, even if it's just one little baby step, once a month, once a day, once a year. If we can collectively get people doing more to benefit animals, we're going to really tip the scales and start seeing a lot of progress.
Well, yeah, I've talked to you before, and that book which you know, if people are listening to the title and they think, well, I don't have a pound dog, so what do I care about that? I remember you shocking me with stories and facts of actual pets abducted and put into the laboratory trade and just where they would show up and where they were found, and it was horrible. So it goes well beyond this idea of, you know, just animals that are completely unwanted or vicious being used for lab experiments. It's not that. It's scarier than that. And when I think about all the people who own dogs or cats, or what if they could, or used to, or want to, you know, we're the majority. So why aren't the animals better taken care of? It doesn't make sense. We have to start speaking up. And I'm so glad you're showing people how to do that with your website. So You're the director of the National Center for Prosecution of Animal Abuse and the National District Attorneys Association. You lobby for all of us who love animals at Congress and state legislatures. And everybody, you want to know more? Find Allie. Learn about Allie. And you can connect with her on the Deborah Wolf Pet Expert Facebook page, because I have a link there. I also have Facebook cute puppies and dogs and all kinds of great photos on Camp Good Dog on Facebook. So check that out, too. All right. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned, everybody, to All Paws Pet Talk Radio, where we'll help you make a difference. Dr. Jeff is the veterinarian for Dr. Oz, so it's a pretty heavily laden doctor show today. I hope you I hope you took your vitamins this morning and you're thinking, because it's a thinking man show today, a thinking dog show, thinking cat show. So we'll be back in a minute with that, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some odd news. I'm going to ask Dr. Oz, why does he think a group of cats would adopt a bird and leave, not only leave it alone, but take care of it? There's one of those in the news, and I find that pretty curious. We're going to ask him, we're going to ask Dr. Jeff a whole bunch of things. Let him tell us what's on his mind today on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Now you can walk and exercise your pet, no matter what your condition, using the bike tow leash. There is nothing like the bike tow leash. It easily attaches to bicycles, electric scooters, and other mobility equipment. It acts like an extra left arm to communicate and to control your pet in the healing position. You can install it in minutes. The bike tow leash is recommended by trainers and used by owners and working dog handlers of all kinds. So now you can get out and have fun and exercise your pet very safely. Go to our website, www.allpawspettalk.com, and go to the sponsor page and hit the bike tow leash banner, or call toll free 857-245-3364. That number once again, toll free 857-245-3364.
Back with Deb Wolf on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and my guest, as promised, is Dr. Jeff. Now, drjeff.com is where you can find more about him, and he happens to be the vet for Dr. Oz. You probably know him from TV. But today we're going to be talking about some things Dr. Jeff wants you to know because of the weather, things we haven't already covered today. So welcome to the show, Dr. Jeff.
How you doing?
I'm great. I'm sitting
good
here. It's only 25 and sunny, not so hot. But a lot of the country is in a terrible heat wave. So I know you've got some advice about exercise, parasites, nutrition. What should people be thinking about right now?
Well, you know, first of all, summertime is a great time to get out with your pet. You know, it's the weather typically is nicer. We have more time on our hands. The days are longer. And, you know, the kids are home from school saying, Mom, come on, would you get out, you know, get the dog out already? So we want to go out and do and have fun. And it's great for the animals as well. You know, just like people, I find that a lot of dogs kind of put on those winter pounds, right? They're chilling a little too much. They're watching a little too much Monday Night Football, and they're just not getting out and doing their thing. So
popcorn,
now's the time to make up for it.
Popcorn movie night. You got it.
So here's some just rules of thumb. You want to exercise earlier in the morning or late in the evening. The worst time to get these dogs outside is at the beginning, the middle of the day, because that's when the sun's the hottest. And depending on what and where you like to go, you always have to be prepared for problems. So when you're out there, make sure you bring plenty of water. If it's going to be a hot day, even if it's earlier in the morning, take a canteen. Take a bandana and wet the bandana down. Or a really good idea also is to wet the bandana down the night before, okay, stick it in the freezer. So in the morning, you have an ice-cold bandana. And put that around their neck, and that's a really good idea. Just kind of keep their body temperature a little cooler. Remember,
that's
dogs
great
don't
advice,
sweat.
Especially for older pets, right?
They're absolutely. You got to remember that dogs don't sweat, so that heat exchange becomes a lot more difficult for them. There are two places on the body, and I don't know if all the listeners know this. There are only two places on the body that actually look like each other, but totally different than the rest of the body, and these are the only two areas that have what we call the eccrine sweat gland, which is the sweat gland for body and, you know, temperature control. You know what those two areas are?
The pads of the feet
and the tip of the nose. And if you hold the dog's foot pad up to their nose, you're going to say, oh, my God, they look exactly the same. And that's it. So that's not enough surface area of sweating to actually help maintain a dog's body heat, which is why they pant. So we have to make sure that we keep those areas really cool, which is also why when you have a dog that's overheated, it's really a good idea to ice their feet down. And that's one way to sort of get them back to a better temperature faster.
Wait a minute, Dr. Jeff, are you telling me that my dog's nose is like an armpit? Maybe
your dog's nose is like an armpit. Hopefully it doesn't smell as bad as some people's armpits. But that's why, you know, if you have a dog that's kind of nice and healthy and panting, if you touch their nose, it's always a little wet because they're just doing their little normal sweating. And that's when they get hot, feel the dog's pads, and you're going to feel it like they're going to be like moist and sticky. That's why. Okay. So anyway, if you do hiking, by the way, in woods, you always make sure that you have good tick control, good flea control. There are great products out there. Check with your veterinarian. And one thing that's important, depending on where you live, to make sure you know the closest emergency facility and to know whether or not the area that you're hiking is known to have rattlesnakes. Because poisonous snakes this time of year are a problem, and you want to make sure that you know exactly where to go. In the event that your dog is bitten by emergency. Another thing to remember, there's so many good things to remember, that pavement maintains heat long after the sun goes down. So you might say, you know, it's 6 o'clock, the sun's kind of just about to set, so it's not as hot. But, Mom, that pavement can still be pretty hot. So, again, make sure to watch a dog's feet. And kind of the best thing to do is if you're just starting to get your dog on the exercise routine, kind of start slowly. Let them build those calluses up on the feet a little bit. Let's get them used to it. It's kind of like the weekend warrior. You don't want to go out and start running the 5 miles when they've been sort of sedentary all winter. So you got
like
to kind of ease them into it.
I would like to add to that. When you said be prepared and you said take shade and water, I love that. Take a collapsible bowl or a bowl, some kind of container for water. But I think you also need to beef up your first aid kit a little. So maybe scissors, a muzzle. Maybe a magazine to use as a splint, a blanket in case you need a stretcher. Now, I'm missing some stuff. What else should they have in their first aid kit that they use on humans
to
make it dog or cat appropriate?
Alcohol, first aid ointment. You can use good old Neosporin or Polysporin. It's important if you can grab a tweezer. You know, you get that bee sting sometimes. There's some things that you could can help with.
I find with bee stings, kids and dogs and me, if I get stung by a bee, I use onion. I rub onion on the actual swelling, and it works great.
Uh-huh.
So what else do you need in your first aid kit?
So, those are the, you know, just kinds of things to just to kind of use your smarts when you're going to go out in the in the heat of the day and exercise. And also it's important because when, as we all know, when we start exercising more, our plaintive nutrition increases as well. So make sure that our pets are on really a good plaintive nutrition. Always good to stick with foods that have AFCO certification, which is the Association of American Feed Control Officials, AAFCO. There's so many foods out there. And just remember one thing. Use your veterinarian as your guide, your resource when it comes to diets, as opposed to the $8 an hour employee who's a high school senior, 17 or 18-year-old, who's working at the big pet store, who all of a sudden becomes the expert because they're getting a paycheck for trying to sell you food that they sell at the pet store.
I wanted to ask you something that you're totally right not to rely on those kids at the pet store when you need good advice. But I wanted to ask you something out of the news. There's this cat, and I told the listeners about it, and I don't want to run out of time before I ask you. There's this cat, and it's got two other cats in the same house, and they have adopted this pet robin, this newborn robin named Peeps. It's in Michigan near Grand Rapids. So
right.
Before you think this is just some Canadian phenomenon, no, this is an American cat, and it's adopted some robin. What's going on with this? Why do animals of different species that are supposed to hunt each other, like what's up with these cats?
You know, it's interesting. We have this hang-up, typically, when it comes to the interspecies thing. And, you know, when I have some pictures, people send me pictures all the time, I'm sure you get them as well, of many, many, many instances of animals of different species bonding together.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
There is something in this bird or something that this bird saw in these cats, and there was that they developed that trust. And whether it's, you know, we can't even begin to understand how they see the world and what is danger and threat to them versus what isn't. And it's amazing. I've seen, you see pictures all the time of animals just a wild animal, a big cat, a domesticated pet with a wild animal, just seem to be getting along and actually befriending each other to the point where that trust is developed. And I think it's fascinating. First of all, I think we should learn something from them, but it doesn't surprise me anymore. I you know, we think it's adorable. We see the pictures.
Yeah.
We think it's great. But
this
there is
a cat lying on its side. It seems to be sleeping in the sun. It's sort of half awake with its eyes open, but lying down, relaxed. And there's this robin baby just sort of nestled in its fur. And it says that two of the cats let it perch on their backs, and one of the cats lets the bird walk around it. And I've seen things like dogs nursing kittens
Absolutely.
Trying to nurse baby rabbits, you know, all kinds of – I think there's something about the newborn, you know, that kind of occurs with puppies sometimes too. A puppy won't get beat up as much when it's a real newborn as it will when it's older and it goes to the dog park. There's some kind of
immunity. I'm an animal nut, and I have 12 at home. And we, in the last like 2 months, we've reintroduced two new cats to the household, right?
Okay.
And one of them was a little kitten, and the other one was more of a stray from outside that was young, but not a kitten. And it took the kitten all of, if I say 5 minutes, that would be an exaggeration, to fit right in with my, at the time, four other cats and the dogs. I mean, literally, two of my cats are really large, and this little kitten would jump up where we feed them and push them out of the way to get to the food, and they would let them. Whereas the older cat, the one was like closer to a year of age, it took a lot longer. It took like 4 or 5 days for them to sort of develop their hierarchy. And there was still a lot of hissing at first and a lot of, you know, batting
fast.
At each other.
If it was a totally adult cat, it would have taken weeks or months.
I know.
Everybody,
really
we're running out of time with Dr. Jeff. If you want
cats.
More Dr. Jeff, go to drjeff.com. We don't have any more time, Dr. Jeff. We have to go. But it's
all right,
been great
Deb. Well,
having
it was great
you on
talking
All
to you.
Pet Talk Radio. Thank you so much for coming to the show today. I hope you'll come back again.
Thank you very much. Give me a call.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, take care. All right, everybody, we're wrapping up the show. We want you to be safe in the heat. We want you to be good to your animals. So take care of your animals. From Deb Wolf at All Paws Pet Talk Radio.